to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
My name is Alan McFadgen. I'm the Knowledge Exchange Manager for Dairy for the North of England. Today's podcast is going to be on successful dairy calf weaning. A successful weaning program reduces stress, disease, and ensures dairy calves maintain target growth rates so they will enter your herd at optimum time. And since adult cows will spend half their time ruminating, developing a calf's rumen is critical if you want them to utilise energy for efficient production in later life. I'm Alan McFadgen, HDB Knowledge Exchange Manager, and I'm joined today by Johnny Sloan and Ali Haggerty to discuss the practical aspects of weaning calves and the practices we should be aiming for. Hi, Johnny. Please, can you tell us about yourself and your farm?
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me. I'm Johnny Sloan, farm at Panlands Farm near Johnson Bridge in southwest Scotland. We calve 600 summer calving cows. They're Holstein Montbelliard crosses. We're aimed to have 300 heifer replacements for replacements and growth over a couple of months. We have 1,200 acres. We graze the early spring. And then as cows calve, we keep them inside and feed a lot of zero-grazed grass.
Tell us about your current approach to managing calves.
So when a calf's born, we go straight into groups of 10. And they stay there for the first 4 weeks of life. Colostrum-wise, we used to tube a lot of calves. We used to tube every calf, in fact. This year, we've went with the approach of trying to get every calf to suckle from a bottle if it's not already taken colostrum. That has made life a lot easier because we go straight on to 10 teat feeders and calves seem to be take them a lot easier now. We vaccinate cows against salmonella. We've bothered with that in the past. That's eliminated that in the calves. We've had every disease, really. Crypto. We're currently feeding parafor for a couple of days just to get over that challenge. It's probably not ideal, but it works really well. We're now also vaccinating for pneumonia. We're not really bothered at all with pneumonia over the summer when we calve. It's more we're vaccinating now to cover them for the next 3 months because historically, as we move into these 3 months, we will get a lot of pneumonia in sheds. We also feed through our pellet. We feed a decox pellet. There's been bits and bobs of coxy over the time, and it just eliminates that as well. So what else do we do? We at Panlands, we've enough room for about 150 calves, three sheds of 50. So we'll keep them in the groups of 10 in the sheds of 50. And then at around 4 weeks, we'll try and take the whole shed and move them to about a mile away to another farm. And then we run them as a group of 50. At this stage, if there's any calves struggling, we'll keep them back here and keep them on feeding twice a day.
What feed do you offer the calves and when?
So for the first 7 days, we try and keep calves on whole milk, depending on as we calve, we'll milk those cows separately. So we have a lot of milk. So between 5 and 7 days, we try and keep them on whole milk. And then we go into a powder and we feed 900 grams of powder over two feeds for the first 4 weeks. And then they go on to once a day, continue to get 900 grams just in once a day, 5 litres of water. In the groups of 10, they have access to pellets from day one and small water bowls.
We know that the presentation of feed and water is really important. So how does this happen on your farm?
We had a meeting a few weeks ago and it was asked if the different types of troughs we had, there was any difference in intake. And at the time I said, no, I don't think so. So since then we've actually monitored it and there is, like Ali talked about an open trough being best. And we had some of the troughs that, you know, they've got a hopper on the side and it just sort of restricts the size of the openness. And by quite a significant way that the open troughs they would take more cake from. So yeah, interesting. You always learn something. So thank you, Ali.
That's good to hear. I was panicking there that you might say the hoppers are like a massively big increase. I was thinking, oh well. But yeah, access. The way the pellet is presented is often the biggest sort of stumbling block as well.
Because the even the troughs that were the older calves that were eating less than the younger ones that had the open troughs.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, so it was quite significant.
That's really interesting.
How do you decide to wean and talk us through the steps you take?
Yeah, so we wean at 8 weeks. We go into once a day at 4 weeks and calves are moved away then. They continue on for another 4 weeks on once a day, and then just over 3 or 4 days, they're cut down their milk till we know they're eating enough cake from this that's still manually put in. So it's, you know, 50 calves, it's a lot of buckets to carry. So at that stage, we're generally saying that's when they're weaned and they're again moved to another farm.
Measurement is key. How does this happen? How do you know your approach to weaning is working?
So we don't currently weigh calves. As something we've talked about, we've used weigh bands in the past, and it can work well for a week or so, and then you get really busy and you forget to do it and falls by the wayside. We were actually just up at the other farm yesterday looking at where we can put a weigh scale in, because we run them through a small race to vaccinate anyway. So we're going to do that for next year. But currently we go by eye and that's it. As we calve over summer, you know, we're forced to calve at a maximum of 24 months and younger. So we have to keep calves growing well and growing throughout to achieve this. So, yeah, plenty of feed and plenty of space is generally what we offer and tend to do okay.
Are you making your targets? You're happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Turning to Ali Haggerty, for those of you that don't know us, could you tell us a little about yourself?
Thanks, Alan. So, yeah, I'm Ali Haggerty. I'm a vet by trade based in the southwest of Scotland. I spend part of my time in clinical practice at the Stewartry Veterinary Centre over in Castle Douglas. And I spend the other part of my time doing some freelance work. And there's a research aspect to that, which is mainly centred around calf health and colostrum. And I also do some work for industry partners.
We've heard about Johnny's approach to weaning. What's your initial reaction?
Yeah, so as Johnny alluded to, he and the team at Panlands were really kind to host one of a really successful calf weaning roadshow. They'd put a lot of time and effort into making the place sort of really hospitable, and it was a good meeting. So I think one of the things that struck me when we were at Panlands is the team he's got involved in the calves. They're all really dedicated and enthusiastic to doing a good job, and that's going to get you off to a good start. It's a really important building block. Other things that he's talked about as well, he's providing concentrate from birth and he's providing water from birth, which is not only a legal requirement, but goes a long way to helping calf health. And it definitely passed the glass test, which is when we went round some of the drinkers, unbeknown to Johnny before the meeting started. I took my glass round and dunked it into some of the drinkers, and it was certainly very clean stuff that was coming out. It was good to see. I think maybe on the back of the meeting, it was interesting. It was the first time I'd heard about the difference in the feed trough since it. So that was really good to hear. But I think as well, Johnny, you'd maybe said that you'd thought about adding in some chopped straw or something like that, rather than just the sort of this kind of whole straw as it's presented. But I know that sometimes provides some logistical challenges about whether you can chop it on farm or contractors and how you transport it and things like that.
What's the considered advice about when to wean?
It is concentrate consumption. Concentrate consumption should drive the decision to wean. At a group level, your calves should be consuming between 1 and 1.5 kilos a day, and that should be the trigger to weaning.
And how should calviers approach it?
The process of weaning, it starts by preparing the rumen for digesting a more complex diet than milk. And rumen development, that's the key. That's what underpins weaning and successful weaning. And for good rumen development, well, it's driven by concentrates. It's the volatile fatty acids from the concentrate digestion that stimulates the papilla growth in the rumen. And those are those finger-like projections that help sort of absorb that energy. So concentrates are really important, and concentrate consumption is important. Concentrates also provide a bit of energy, and they're important for the microbiome to fill that kind of rumen vat of those microbes. You need to consider forage as well. Forage is so important for buffering that acid from the concentrates. It's really important for the rumen wall development and increasing that capacity. It also has a function to help prevent hyperkeratosis, which is when a sort of a layer of the hardened cells coat these papillae, and they act as a physical barrier. They do protect the papillae from volatile fatty acids, but they will reduce the absorption there. And the forage is really important for that, like toothpick scratch factor action to pick that off. And of course, we've mentioned water, and water is important for hydration of the calf, but also remember you need to hydrate that rumen as well. And clean access to water is really important. It's the second essential nutrient to oxygen, so it is important.
Calves are more susceptible to disease, so how important is it to reduce stress during this time, and what does that mean?
So stress, and that can come in a few forms, whether it's from the weaning process itself, whether it's from group changes, whether it's from castration or disbudding or other management tasks, but stress itself will alter the effectiveness of the calf's immune system. So it will change the ability of the calf to be able to fight off disease. So with this in mind, it's really important to kind of be aware of where the management tasks are happening in association with each other, to consider when they're happening, to space them out. And coming back to concentrate consumption driving weaning, if the calves are eating enough concentrates, they can cope with the slow withdrawal of milk of the weaning process better. So it's all about giving the calves the best possible means to cope with these stresses.
If rearers could focus on just one thing to improve their calf weaning, what would you suggest it would be?
That's a tough question, Alan. I would love to tell you the silver bullet to successful calf rearing, but it's just not the case. It's pieces of a jigsaw. It's right from the start, from calving, from colostrum management, from housing, environment, hygiene. It's the attention to detail, and all these parts come together as a jigsaw. Rearing calves is a really skilled job.
That's a good answer to a tough question. Thank you to both of my guests for their time today. It's clear they're both passionate about the young stock and the importance of investing in calves at an early age. One thing's for sure, getting them off to a great start in life will deliver better results long term. AHDB are currently running a series of practical on-farm meetings across the country. So if you want to improve your calf weaning, visit our website to find your nearest one. I'm Al McFadgen, and thank you for listening.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have any ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. We want to hear from you.